Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. How you all doing? It's another week, therefore it's another episode. And today's episode, it's wonderful. I was joined by not one but three guests. I was joined by the band, the whole band. I was joined by Alice, Raquel and Bella of Dreamwife. Dreamwife, who have just released their album and charted, done it all in lockdown. And we find out how, and we find out about all of the songs that have soundtracked their upbringing, their creative life so far. And it's just a really fun chat. I spoke to it was Alice and Bella were in London, and Raquel was in Reykjavik, and we had a real good time, and you're about to hear this chat now. And before we get on with it, I just want to say a huge thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to 76 for producing this podcast, and thanks to you lot for continually supporting Off the Beaten Track. If you enjoyed this episode and it's the first time you've listened to Off the Beaten Track and you want some more, then go and have a look in the archives, because there's over 150 episodes with some of your favourite bands, actors, comedians, producers, DJs. Go and have a rummage in the archives and you'll find something that you will enjoy, I promise you. Okay, let's get back to today's episode. It gives me enormous joy to say please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Dreamwife. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. And today I'm joined by Dreamwife. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
So Whereabouts are you all?
Bella and myself are in Southeast London.
Okay. Bella, can you say hi so people can work out what your voice is? Because we've got three voices, so I want everyone to know who's who.
Yeah, this is Alice. Hey, everyone. And Bella and I are in Southeast London. And Raquel.
And Raquel?
I'm Raquel, and I'm in Iceland, Reykjavik.
Wonderful. All right, well, look, before we get on with today's playlist, can I ask you, like, all how you found the recent lockdown situation as human beings and as creatives?
I think it's one thing that me and Alice, because we live together and obviously we've toured together a lot, is that we've actually spoken about how, in a lot of ways, touring has kind of mentally prepared us to be able to do this. You know, like, we're quite accustomed to spending a lot of time together in fairly compromised situations. And like, actually, you have a lot more autonomy
in the back of the bag.
The van is the compromise. So yeah, like, actually, yeah, kind of being separated from your friends and family and stuff is a fairly kind of normal thing. So yeah, grateful. Oh, and that just, like, submission to one day at a time, like, you're just here and now and you're not really worrying about the end of this process. I feel like without those mechanisms, I would have found this all a lot harder.
I think as well, it's been, like, a really nice thing for the three of us to have the record come out, you know, on the 3rd of July when it did. It's like, I think it was this really nice grounding physical moment of suddenly, like, the record is released and, like, this thing we made together, like, last year, suddenly kind of becoming real again in this more exterior way. And I think that's a really nice point of celebration for us three, even though we're, you know, all not in the same place.
And like less than a week after the record stores reopened, you know, it's like, it's kind of wild that you can go out and buy that record in a shop.
So he's like Rough Trade and that's like open now. I've no idea.
Yeah, they're open. And we're album of the month. What up?
That'll do, isn't it? All right, so well, let's start working our way through the track list. So for track one, the song with the greatest ever intro.
Oh. Anyone want to go first? Shall I go?
Yeah, go for it.
I want to go for The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. That bass line is so... Oh, you just know something that's going to happen. And I feel like that's such an interesting song about being in a band, you know, just like that you will never break the chain because the bonds of being in a band is so tight. And you just know that's coming when you hit the start.
It's like one of the most iconic bass lines out there, isn't it? It's like you hear that and you know what's coming.
Yeah, and, you know, as a bassist, obviously I'm into that.
I mean, if there's to be a bond that's unbreakable in a band, fuck me, Fleetwood Mac proved that, didn't they? I mean, could there have been...
He's not in the band anymore. Like, yeah. Bye-bye.
But there
that's
was...
still like a good solid 50, 60 years of being in a band together. And even if you left in 2020, like, that's still a... Wait, where's my math? I don't know, at least 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's well documented, like Fleetwood Mac's kind of excess and kind of inter-band relationships. I mean, to still come out the other end of that as a band, it's pretty impressive, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. The music is the glue.
We've got a few more decades to go. But, you know, we're getting stronger every day together.
Okay, well,
we're also not dating each other, so that's a plus.
That helps.
I think it's way harder when you're actually having those relationships in a band.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
Who else has got an intro for me?
Oh, it's really difficult because...
It's meant to be difficult.
I mean, I'm going to go for 5 Years by David Bowie. Mm. I feel like...
Oh, great shout.
Right now feels like it's kind of come round to this point of relevance again, actually. And like when I heard it recently, I think, you know, that just opening guitar, those chords, there's something about the melancholy feeling. And it's another one, like with the Fleetwood Mac track, it's like, you know what's coming, you know that feeling just building in that intro, and it's iconic in its own right. But yeah, I feel like there's a real relevance of of that track and the sentiment of it right now in the world, for sure.
Perfect. Racco, before I ask you what yours is, I just want to ask you collectively as a band, in regards to sort of intros in music, is it something, is it a big consideration of yours when you're in the writing process to consider that kind of, in more kind of pop markets, it's the whole thing of like writing for radio, hook them in and try and grab them right from the off. How much of that is kind of, do you apply when you're writing music? Are you trying to kind of get in there straight away? Do you know what I'm saying? It's a bit of a loaded question.
I think it's something where the writing last year when we were writing So When You Gonna, a lot of the writing with that, we did so much of the pre-production ourselves in regard to like arrangement and the flow of the song and the journey of the song as a whole. And I think there was a lot of time spent feeling what that was and kind of feeling that out as a unit. And yeah, it was definitely part of the writing conversation for us just as much as like the instrumentation, or it was a vibe setter, and intros are like that. And I think, yeah, it's important for us, the journey of song takes you on.
Yeah, I think kind of tried to have like different types of intros, different ways of entering a song, different kind of lengths of that. Like it, yeah, it's really,
we were trying to do some variations.
Variations on tone setting.
Raquel, what's yours?
I'm going to say Robin Dancing on My Own.
Yes!
Like, as soon as you hear the first 2-3 seconds, you're like, oh my God, I need to stop whatever I'm doing. I'm going to clear the table and dance on it. Like, yeah. It's just such a, like you just get goosebumps when you hear it. Like, when you hear it anywhere, it's hard not to want to engage.
It's so weird you say that. I hadn't heard that song for about a year, and I was in my car, and it came on the other day, and literally my wife just said to me, how fucking incredible is this record? And I was like, so good.
Yeah. I mean, it's like interesting. It's like that sort of period of Robin was really cropping up when we were in the studio with Marta Salopini, our producer. It was kind of something we all kind of kept referencing, and particularly on tracks like Old Flame, Let's See on the record, it was like a real reference point. And yeah, that bittersweet Robin vibe, she sucks you in from the start.
Absolutely. Okay, track two. The first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
I mean, I would actually say Hey Mickey by Tony Basil.
Oh, amazing!
I mean, it was like a song I remember when I was a younger girl. It was like, I don't know, it kind of turned me on, like, and I think it was something about this kind of, like, this kind of rock fused with this cheerleader thing, and, like, I don't know, it was stuff I didn't really understand at the time, but I think that really was a song where it was, like, rock and roll is so sexy, and that song, for me, when I was younger, was, it really made me feel, like, wow, like, rock's firing me up kind of thing, like, but I guess, yeah, Tony Basil, Hey Mickey, we actually once did a cover of that song. In our early days. Do you remember, Raquel?
Yeah, it was great. We called it Hey Llama.
Hey Llama!
Yeah, we used to change the name and sing it to whatever friends were in the audience, and Llama is a friend, not an animal.
I mean, that's a versatile approach. You can apply that at any gig to any person, right? That's great.
Yeah. I swear you used to do that, Raquel, like, Raquel would
jump in the lab.
It was like, yeah, we'd sing it to you at that person that night. It was really nice.
They felt really special.
I mean, that song is definitely something that's, I mean, way before your time. I mean, that come out when I was probably about 6 or 7, and for a young lad seeing Tony Basil, like, you know, it was incredible. You know, she was like an absolute badass, because she's like, she's a music choreographer now, isn't she? She's like, she's a huge, she's like choreographed, like, I think she had choreographed things like sort of Janet Jackson and Mariah Carey. Like, she's a huge choreographer for music videos.
Oh, amazing. Oh, we should work with her.
Yeah, we should work with
her. I'm going to ask, what was the emotion that gave you?
I mean, I think it's just that kind of like raw kind of attraction to guitars and how loud they can be. But then also, like, I think it was like, hey, Mickey, the lyrical content of that song as well. I think it was like this woman being like outwardly like, hey, like, you're so fine. And like, you make me feel this way. And like, the guitars totally reflect that. And I think there's definitely parts of Dreamwife where it's that kind of interplay between like really, really cheeky and sexy and really, really rocking. And like, and it's that it's just so much fun live. And I think on record, it summons that feeling in me of like, just rock, like the way it can just buzz you up. And it just makes me feel happy. It makes me feel excited. Or did when I was a child.
Bella?
I'm going to go for Reach Out by the Four Tops.
Yeah,
my mum had this like Motown CD, which was like a real soundtrack to my life for a while. It was like the first music I'd like choose to put on. This was maybe 6, 7. And I just remember that song and like how it's like, it feels so safe and so loving, but so powerful as well. Yeah, and it makes me want to dance. Yeah, I love the depth of it and the meatiness of it.
It's so mad that you say that. there's been probably at least, I reckon, half of the guests that have been on this podcast have cited a Motown compilation growing up as a hugely important album in their household. And so was that, I'll ask you all as well before I get to Raquel's choice. Was there music on for most of you growing up at home? Was you like sort of exposed to like, you know, a record collection?
Yes. Yeah, my dad is like the classic Six Music dad. We've had Six Music on in the house since it was initiated. And my mum kind of sits somewhere between like pop punk and R&B. But she has less control over what music is played. Six Music is always on. But you know, she took me to see Green Day when I was 11.
I just don't think you'd never look at Bella's mum. You'd never meet Bella's mum and be like, oh yeah, she's totally into this like mix between like, R&B and pop punk. Like, you just wouldn't guess.
Yeah, she's a mysterious lady.
Is that a thing, Six Music dad? Because I've just realised I'm gonna have to tell my kids that that's what I am now. I'm Six Music dad. Six Music have been loving you this week, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
absolutely.
We are thankful for that.
Raquel, what song was the first song that gave you that you had an emotional response to?
This is a bit of a hard one. I'm going to go with Madonna, The Power of Goodbye.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think actually in my house, I grew up in California until I was a preteen. And I don't really remember being much inside the house. Like, I stayed a lot inside the house when we moved to Iceland because it was cold. But I just remember being outside most of my childhood, so I don't think I actually listened to that much music because I was outside the whole time or at the beach or something. But actually, my parents, they played a lot of Madonna and like The Smiths. But I remember hearing The Power of Goodbye and just being like completely, like I had to sit down, like I had to, you know, it's like eating a full meal. You can't just stand up right away. You had to really sit down and sort of let the kind of the waves of emotions that the song was going through sort of sit over you just as like a child.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Oh, the emotional response to that song would have been what emotion?
I think just, it was so epic, like the string quartet. And I think this like feeling, like, because as a kid, you haven't really experienced this kind of like, well, for me, I hadn't said goodbye to anyone at that point. And this kind of idea of being sort of heartbroken, but also present. And also strong, like these kind of various of emotions that she brings in that song. And as a kid, I wanted to experience them, like experiencing love and experiencing heartbreak and experiencing having, in general, just having to say goodbye to someone and what that emotion was, because I didn't know that. And I think I just really wanted to take it in, so I couldn't really move when that sound came along. I sat it down.
Wonderful. Okay, track three. The song reminds you of your time at school.
Alice, Hey Mickey.
It's gotta be.
Maybe I should just answer that for every single answer here. This is just tricky. I mean,
I'm gonna say Cisco thong song for me. Do you remember that Cisco song? Let me see that thong.
Yeah.
And literally, yeah. I had no idea what a thong was. Like, we didn't know that. We were just singing along to it. That was literally the song that was played at like every school dance, and everyone sang along, and they didn't even know what a thong was.
Well, before I ask you to what yours are, like, just the ask all of you now, like, how was school? Was it something you enjoyed?
I mean, I think the thing we really like about Dream Life is that we get to kind of create the structure in which we kind of move through and engage with the world. And I think there's something, like, when, for instance, when we were like at uni, I think there was something kind of claustrophobic about kind of being told the way in which you should be making art, let's say. And I think all of us kind of instinctively, it's like been sort of finding our own path and figuring things out on our terms. And I think, I know personally for me at school, I kind of didn't really like the way you were kind of told this is right, this is wrong. And it's something where I think, yeah, it was sort of tricky. I just kind of got by. Mm-hmm. I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't really have many friends. I just kind of got by and actually retreated into music mostly. So I think probably all of us in different ways, it maybe was a similar sort of situation of finding things that, I don't know, mattered to us outside of maybe what you were told should matter at school or something.
Yeah, school was a lonely and difficult time in a lot of ways. And yet, like Alice was saying, it's like you're kind of told all this stuff is like the only way it can be. Like, yeah, like I went to a Church of England school, like a state school, but it was religious. And that kind of, like being forcibly subscribed to this like kind of system, like, yeah, the only time I'd ever like talk in class was when I get into fights with my RE teacher. Me and Alice are both in Somerset, so it's kind of like slightly rural, kind of curtain twitchy. It's quite a lot like Hot Fuzz, if you imagine going to school in that movie.
It's all for the greater good. So what did you want to be at school? Was music already like something that was a focus? And as well as that, if music was something that you were focusing on at school, was that kind of creative element of your education being encouraged?
I was quite fortunate to I actually quite like, well, I liked school, but it was easier in California when you could be outside the whole time. It was really difficult adjusting to having, you know, going out for lunch and it's snowing and you're just supposed to do that. Like, temperature-wise, it was difficult, but it was all right for me. But I was very fortunate to be from a family that works in arts and theater and music. So it was really great to sort of see that as a norm and see that as a paying job and not to see it as something that was a distant reality, but something that you were encouraged to dive into.
Yeah.
So I was really fortunate. And as a kid, I thought that was a norm. And then I grew older, I realized that wasn't a norm. And I'm very thankful for having that.
Alice?
Wait, what is this? What we wanted to be at school?
Yeah. And was like, what, you know, was you a creative kid and was that encouraged at school?
I mean, I think it was like, it was really encouraged outside of school for me. Like, my dad studied sculpture, like, my mum had a background in kind of graphic design and stuff. And I think both of them really encouraged me to figure things out on my own in my own kind of creative space. And like, for me, that was my bedroom. And it was, and it, in a way, still now, I think having that kind of intimate personal space to explore things creatively is still, in a way, it's kind of like therapy for me. And it always has been. It's been a friend that's always been there. And I think, yeah, it's, I would say in school, it was kind of like, I was mostly friends with boys and at primary school and I played clarinet, but I wasn't really that into it. It was like, I learned music, but it was more exciting to me to be playing the bongos in a band in year six called like AK-47. Like, it's really fucked up now, but like, just, I remember like me and this guy called Seb, it was like, we were going to start this band called AK-47. It was like, I started out on bongos and then I moved up to electric guitar playing like Deep Purple tracks. Like, it was a thing where it was like, it was outside of school and the breaking down of maybe the rules of like what you should and shouldn't do as a little girl as well. I think none of that ever, I didn't really care about like playing with dolls or anything like that. It was sort of about exploring things outside of the structures, I think, for a long time. And yeah, these things existed definitely outside of my time in school. I did well at school, but I just kind of put my head down and did it. It was, I think, yeah, it was more exciting for me. Everything else that was there to learn that wasn't being taught to you directly through this kind of curriculum, I guess.
Okay. Props to the name AK-47. That's fucking great. track four. I'm going to ask you the first song you remember buying from a record store. But I imagine looking at use, it would have been a CD. I can't imagine it was. I think records were probably disappeared by then.
But they're back now. Sure.
They're back in a vengeance. Who's going to go first?
I mean, it's like, I'm not very proud of this because I don't really.
You're not meant to be proud of this one. This is the one where your call goes out the window.
Yeah, exactly. I remember buying, I think it was Feeder Buck Rogers. And like, it's like, I don't even, you know, Feeder it, so what? But I remember just really, really loving the riff and the simplicity of it. And it was kind of like, it's got that kind of Blur Song 2 feel where it's just, it's kind of just powerful pop, really. But with guitars. And yeah, I remember sort of thinking at the time, like, oh, I just really like the way this sounds. So yeah,
it's an indie disco classic, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just not so sure. I'm not so sure anymore.
Bella?
Again, this one, I'm kind of, I think I've only, maybe only ever bought one single ever, and it feels embarrassing. Yes. Noah and the Whale, 5 years' time. Yeah, a little bit of sunshine folk rock. It was very much a kind of relationship with my friend Sarah thing. And we really liked that song together. And so I bought that on a CD. But, like, yeah, I've never bought songs, really.
Yeah. I've never heard the word sunshine folk rock. I'm loving it. Let's bring that back.
I remember mine. Well, we talk about songs or albums?
It can be either.
Okay. I actually remember
it was an album.
It's an album. I bought Willennium. by Will Smith.
Girl, of course you did.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was. I think I bought, but then also, like, I remember going to the store, at the, you know, the record store of my friend, you know, went to the mall, exciting times. And the guy at the record store was encouraging me to buy Linkin Park.
Oh my god.
So I ended up walking out with Linkin Park, and I was like, sure. Okay. And then, yeah. That was my first trip to like the record store with my friend and her mom or something. But yeah, Willennium and a Linkin Park record. I've listened to them both a lot. They were the best.
And so while we talk about record stores and the importance of them, as you know, in your kind of formative years going and buying your first records or CDs and stuff like that, how much as an independent band now, how important are those independent record stores to Dreamwife?
I mean, it was something quite like, for instance, what we did with the release of So When You're Gonna. We were planning to do a tour of record stores, and that obviously for reasons with the pandemic didn't happen. And it was something where it was really nice to continue that conversation kind of down on the ground with these independent record stores, giving them like, we gave them all a kind of virtual version of 5 tracks on the record. And it was something we'd filmed and recorded during quarantine. So when we were all in these separate places, and there was something really nice about still kind of in this virtual way, touching base with these distributors, these places where it's like they're independent. It's really nice community to be touching base with, aside from it being a shop, you know what I mean? I think it was really nice for their channels to reach out to these communities of people where it really matters. Records, the physical format, it's still so important. And I think now more than ever, where, you know, things are maybe more dislocated, non-physical, and like I said earlier, it's really nice, the idea of like this record coming out in the physical and people going to the shop and buying that, and it's this kind of physical way to connect through to the music still. And yeah, it's obviously right now more than ever, I think it's about supporting them and keeping that community alive, really.
Yeah, I think the music industry is like such a big complicated mess of people kind of trying to push their own agendas, and it's like so dominated by like a few big powers that have a lot of money. And I think independent record stores is like an avenue and a space for kind of diffusing that very kind of linear power is super important. Yeah. It was like interesting because we were kind of engaged in this whole like rush for the top 20, like really trying to get in the top 20 with the first week of our album sales. And like just looking at how dominated that list was by like a very few, like small set of institutions. I think, yeah, power to the independents. That's what we need. Yes.
100%.
Also the result from that is what we found out, which was technically, we're still on top this week, not until Friday, that changes. But we're number 18. We're very proud. But we also, the even better news that came from that was that our record, So When You're Gonna, was the most sold records from all the independent record stores this week.
That's
a huge compliment. Like, to know that people, like, went into the store and bought it from their local record shop. And that made everything. That's why we got into the top list, is because of people buying physical copies. Because we sort of found out that we had a chance to the top 20. We were looking into it, and a lot of stuff that we didn't realize. For example, like, one record bought equals 1,000 streams.
Okay.
I didn't realize it was that much of a... So actually going out and supporting a band or a message that you want to support has such a big way on this list. And also this list, we also found out that it's not a number, that actually it has a lot of way. For example, we've been played a lot on Radio 6 this week. The reason why was probably because of this list.
Sure.
And it's basically has a huge importance on where you're placed at festivals, your fee at festivals, and in general bookings at festivals that maybe are lacking in diversity. But if your booking agent
sort of presents your act as, you know, as something that has been selling, like a top 20 record,
yeah,
that sort of makes it possible for you to get booked at these places too. So it's radio play and festivals. Like, that's actually what that list is all about. And that's pretty amazing, like, actually having, you know, letting people know about that, how important actually one physical copy weighs against, you know, the major streaming network.
I did not know that. It's crazy.
Yeah, so it's really important.
Pouring of support, but like in this kind of down on the ground grassroots kind of way, like that it was people going into record stores and buying records that like kind of tipped us into the top 20. It was just incredible that there's still so much power and weight to that. It really matters still.
Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is,
small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off The Beat and Track Podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. Next track, the song that soundtracked your years clubbing. Yous are young, yous are still clubbing. So you can be retrospective if you want. Sorry, Bella, I missed that.
All the clubs are shut right now.
I know. I run one. I have a club that's not open. It's killing me.
That's hard.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Alvin, didn't you make a club in your living room?
Yes.
You guys have a club at your house.
You do, but actually not anymore right now. But it could be set up. Sometimes the kitchen is a club. Sometimes the garden is a club.
Versatile.
I've got a really impressive like strobe lights and kind of lights that pulsate in time with the music. So it's quite easy to get a vibe going.
I mean, I would say years clubbing, it's been peaches. A while. It's all been peaches. A while, and it's probably just pure peach. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with I feel cream. I feel like I really remember, like in Brighton, I feel like those were my kind of most hardcore clubbing days. And I feel like any time I listened to Peaches, it would just get me in exactly the right mood.
So clubbing was in Brighton?
We went to uni there.
Yeah, we went to uni, did some parties at my old flat. I remember, I mean, maybe I'll put this on there because this reminds me of this specific birthday I had when, Raquel, you came over with that massive bottle of champagne. Do you remember that, like, mega-sized bottle? It was, like, was it my 21st or something? I can't remember. It was, like, you came over and B was there, a few of the friends there and stuff, and Raquel, you put on, is it Justice, We Are Your Friends?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
fond memories of that moment. And we were just dancing around in the flat, I think probably with a strobe light. They had a smoke machine down there and stuff. And it was just a really nice moment. And like, I'd just gone through a breakup, and it was a thing where it was a really nice moment of like, all these people are here and they care, and it's a really nice time. And it was a really, it wasn't necessarily like the clubbing years, but it was definitely part of that. And for me, that was a really sort of important moment in that, in a way of just like friendship and people just coming together and dancing and the joy in that. But yeah, that was a really great birthday, and I would suggest just we are your friends.
Perfect.
I love that song. This is probably why I put it on your birthday. it's such a good fist pumping song. Like everyone, the floor is in strobe lights, and everyone's like punching the air, and then everyone's hugging, and then you're punching the air again. You know, that's the club song.
Do you know the story behind that song?
No.
It's quite crazy. So there's a DJ called Eddie Temple Morris, and he used to be, I think he's on like Virgin now, but he used to be on Radio X when it was XFM. And he had a show on there where he was encouraging people. At the time, there was lots of like mashups going on where people had sort of smashed the two songs together. And he'd done a competition, and obviously someone mashed Justice with Simeon, and it got played on that show and went fucking crazy. And then obviously from then on, it became this huge, huge tune.
So it was a coincidence. Okay. It wasn't the band.
Mm.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is it Justice and Simeon Mobile Disco? Is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Ooh.
So whereabouts was clubbing in Brighton? I'm thinking back to then.
Mostly at Alice's flat. And there was some other friends that lived kind of across the road from Alice that had a basement and lots of strobe lights as well.
Yeah, we were like friends with people that, I mean, had kind of continued to be true life collaborators since uni as well. But I think, yeah, we were like friends with a group that also had some strobe lights and smoke machines. And we would just kind of, I remember there was like one summer. But like there was one summer where I remember like a lot of people had kind of gone home, and there were like, it was just kind of like this random little group left, and we were just doing a lot of just our own parties under strobe light in each other's living rooms and stuff like that. And it was a real feeling of like, you could just, it Brighton's so small, you could always just walk to people's houses. And it was, the house parties there were like, I remember like sometimes you'd go out to revenge, like sometimes if you wanted to like go and dance, but really it was like, it was all about the house party in Brighton, and definitely at uni in that time. And we were like studying art, and it was like this split discipline mixed campus where I think there was a real crossing of different creative minds. I mean, it's like we were all on different courses when we created this band there. And I think there was a real excitement about like just kind of just being freaky together, actually.
Also, like, a lot of our first shows were house parties. Like it was so much like, the whole culture was built around house party. Even like going to concerts, you go to house party, and it's such a beautiful thing to have that. I think I remember when we moved to London, we were like, I miss house party. But like we have everything else, but not enough house party.
London.
Raquel, what song soundtracked clubbing for you?
I think it was We Are Your Friends, actually. That is the fist puncher. It's just, oh man, I didn't know that story. That's such a cool way of a song appearing and becoming a huge club track.
Yeah, huge as well. Massive. Okay, track 6. Favorite song from an artist.
Actually,
sorry, go for it.
I do have an answer.
Okay.
The Venga Boys. The Venga Boys are calling. Da, 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 da. That song, I mean, I have like every single time that comes on, I have this like choreographed dance routine that a few friends of mine, we always do, and then we teach everyone who doesn't know the dance routine, or I teach people my dance routine. But it's like, it's really fun to have like a song that you just have to do a dance routine to, that you've been doing since you were 15.
Okay, for track 6, favorite song from an artist from your home county.
Oh no.
We can go PJ and Portishead. PJ and Portishead.
We're from Somerset. Not many bands are from Somerset.
So, like, the obvious, and this is not making the cut, the obvious band that we maybe would go to would be the Wurzels.
Obviously.
But we're not going to go there.
No, we're not going to go for that. Did see the Wurzels live at Wedmore Harvest Home once, 30th anniversary, very
So are you throwing a Bristol making the cut for this?
Well, Portishead and PJ Harvey are the best things.
Okay.
Portishead, Glory Box would be my choice.
And I will go for PJ Harvey, Man Size.
Yes.
Ah, great tune. Great tune. Yeah, I think, you've nailed it there. There's two absolute stone cold killers there. you better deliver now, Raquel, because they've set the bar pretty high.
I'm a bit spoiled by choice. the obvious answer to this question is Björk, but I feel like I'm going to choose the less obvious one. I think my friend Ole.
Okay.
Ólafur Arnalds. His name is, I think there's one song called Ljósið, which means the light. He's a pianist. And I think that's one of the most beautiful songs to come out of this country.
Is that something that's available on Spotify? Because I've put a playlist together with all of the songs that we talk about.
Yeah, he's huge in the piano atmospheric world. He won a BAFTA once, so he's definitely on Spotify.
Wonderful. Okay, so for the final track, you all get to play DJs now, and you get to pick a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Whoa. Okay.
I came up with proper answers for the start of the interview, and then I didn't go all the way to the end to have solid things. But this
is what's happened. You've tried to wing it, haven't you?
A little bit. Half wing.
That's healthy, though.
Yeah, I feel like we'll throw some Porridge Radio into the mix. Porridge Radio, some friends of ours, and they released an album earlier this year that was really, really good, really, like, raw, really emotionally honest. And as for the track, maybe I will go for Give Take, because I made the music video for that, and it's a really fun song about, like, wanting things but not wanting things, and, like, the kind of mixed up feelings of that desire can bring.
Perfect.
I'm gonna go for Rina Sawayama, yes, by a friend. She's just incredible. She's just got signed to Dirty Hit, and she's released this brilliant album. And Bad Friend is, I guess, the most recent single off it. And it's like, it's really nice to hear a song that's like talking about friendship and like these feelings, these complicated emotional feelings surrounding that, rather than it being maybe about this kind of, like, I don't know, more stereotypical kind of, like, love interest type thing. It's really nice to hear a song that's exploring, like, friendship. And it's also just a really great song. But, yeah, Rina, she's, like, a really pop star.
Perfect.
I really love that song, Bad Friend, in a way that I think we quite reflect. I think being away on tour a lot, and not being able to be physically present with your friends back home, and maybe feeling a kind of, or family, or feeling kind of a guilt from that. I felt like that song definitely looked at that mutual feeling of when you're away and you feel like you're a bad friend. But you just got to pick up the phone again, and friendship, you know, it's always going to be there if there was love at the start.
So are you going to Are you going with that tune, or do you want to pick a different one, Raquel?
No, I just wanted to talk about how great that tune is. I'm going to go with Nova Twins, a song called Taxi.
Nice.
Their music video to that song, just like, it looks as if it's The Matrix.
Yeah.
And they're just one of the most incredible live bands. They're also, yeah, friends of ours, and just one of the most incredible bands out there. And I love their music and the power they bring.
Yeah.
The power and kindness they bring as well. It's just, it's one of a kind. Do you know them?
They're doing this next week.
Are they? Oh. Wow, they are so amazing.
Yeah, wonderful band. So as we, it would appear, seem to be finding our way out of lockdown slowly but surely, when everything's back to a kind of safe and nice place to go out again, what's the plan? I mean, you've put an album out in lockdown, which is amazing, and to chart in such a situation is incredible. So what's to be done when you're out of lockdown? What's coming up?
I want to swim in the sea.
You want to swim in the sea? Okay. I swam in a river about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did it feel good?
It was beautiful. It's actually my weird little thing while swimming. It's my favourite thing to do, go and find weird lakes and jump in them.
Yes, you and I both, my friend.
It's good for the soul. It really is.
Absolutely cleansing. But also obviously very much looking forward to the rock show and when we can get back to that. Like, I think releasing an album during lockdown has been very strange for this band particularly, because like, we really, the whole premise of this band is like built off of the live show, you know, like that is the kind of the beating heart of the band. And it's been really interesting to process releasing music and what that is without doing shows. Like, it's definitely provided different perspectives that I'm grateful for, but also that's like the consummation, you know, that's like the really alive bit, like really physically sharing that music with people in a space and rock and roll.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It's like, it's literally like stripped back. It's kind of like standing in the same space and all feeling the same vibrations. And it's like, I think, yeah, it's a really strange thing because we recorded this record, wrote it without really many live shows around that process. And these songs, many of them we haven't played live before. So it's a thing where it is just going to be amazing to be present in these new vibrations with everyone together, all of us together kind of thing.
Raquel?
Yeah, the rock show. It's Iceland has gone, well, Iceland never went into lockdown, but it's sort of things are just back to normal here. And all my friends are starting their jobs again and living life just how it was. And I feel a little bit like I can't start my job again. Like, my job and my industry, it's almost hard to articulate it to some of my friends here because it's such a big question mark when that will be when the last industries to start again, which is live music. And we don't know when that's going to start again. And that is a bit of a heartbreak. Like sometimes I dream about being back on stage and it's just to feel the energy of being in a packed room with people and sharing this experience together, which is a live show. It's such a mixture of kind of meditation and to be able to express various emotions and feel safe within a group of people. As an audience as well. That's how I feel as well, going to gigs and especially festivals. So when that happens again, that's just, yeah, that is going to be the dream come true.
Wonderful. Ladies, thank you so much for giving up your time today. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on the album. It's so impressive what you've done. And yeah, I can't wait to come and see you soon.
Thank you for the chat.
Yeah, thank you. Enjoyed this.
Thanks, loads, girls. See you soon. There you go. Dreamwife. The whole band. Well, that's a first. So, yeah, huge thank yous to Alice, Raquel and Bella. Super kind of them all to jump on and have a chat. We got to speak about so much more music than we usually would because there was loads and loads of different answers. So it was a real joy to do that. Go and follow Dreamwife if you're not following them already. All the links will be on all the social medias and everything I do when I post this and chat about this. So go and give it a click and follow me if you're not already and go and give them a listen and better still, go and buy the album. You know, you heard about the stats, go and buy the album, support independent music and yeah, support Dreamwife because, well, you've just heard that. They're absolutely ace. Thanks loads again to Dreamwife. Thanks loads to you for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode. If you can't wait until then, go and have a rummage in the archives, like I mentioned at the beginning. Stacks and stacks of pod chats to be gorged on there, so go and get stuck in. Have a safe week, and I'll see you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson. There's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well, podbiblemag.com. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.